Welcome to worship with Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. It is good for us to be together. I'm so thankful that we're able to gather on Zoom and have worship, and that we have even more folks than we had last time. And if there are folks who join us on Facebook Live, we welcome you as well. We give thanks for the technology that allows us to be together. In terms of church announcements, want to let y'all know
that we're able to gather on Zoom.
Sorry, that was me. All right.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to mute y'all. There we go. For church announcements, I want to let y'all know that next Sunday, November the 1st, from 11 to 1, so 11-1 from 11 to 1, we're going to have a drive-through event on the church grounds. So you'll pull in the rear of the Burke Street lot and around by the pavilion. And we will be, we'll have some masked volunteers there for you to drop off items for our various ministries. We are collecting pantry items for Joseph's Pantry. And the featured items right now are canned meats, canned soups. Your heartier meal type soups are the best ones to do. 1 pound bags of rice, pasta, canned fruits and vegetables. We'll also be collecting items for our clothes closet. We're pretty good to go on coats, but we would love to have long sleeve shirts and mittens and gloves and hats and things like that for our coat closet. Anything that will keep somebody warm in the winter, make those things available. We'll also be collecting school supplies for our partner schools. So crayons, colored pencils, index cards, glue sticks, sanitizing wipes, tissues. We have kids in Henry County who are back in person at school and they are not allowed to share supplies. So it is particularly, you know, they can't have one glue stick for four desks. They have to have four glue sticks for four kids. So there's an especially a need for those school supplies. And then finally, we will have a place if you want to bring by check or cash donations for the church itself. So I will be there to greet you, and I'm looking forward to seeing people. Masks are required at this event, and we're asking anybody who drives through to stay in your car, but you will have a chance to greet some of the volunteers and see one another. And it's a first step in the direction of something in person as we continue in this COVID time. Next Sunday is also the time change happens on Saturday night. So you're going to want to mark your calendar for that. And next Sunday is also All Saints Day. So in our recorded service, I will be remembering those who have died. And if you have names you want included there, you can email those to me or to Linda Hodges in our church office. Or if you want to, you could drop them into the comments, into the chat right here in our Zoom. And I can collect the names in that fashion. Does somebody have where they can look at the Facebook stream? Okay, I'm trying to tell if it's showing me or Aaron or the multicam. Let's see, Aaron, you're muted.
Okay, it's showing you right now, currently.
Okay, good. Speaker view. It's weird how it works on my end. So we're figuring this out together. As far as this service, I am going to try to keep most people on mute just to minimize background sound. And if you, for some reason, need to mute, that button is in the bottom left of your screen if you're on a computer. And if there are anybody who's dialed in by phone, you press *6. I do encourage you to participate in the service. We're going to sing, and if I say the Lord be with you, I hope that you will say and also with you, even if it's cacophony and even if you're on mute, I hope you'll participate in the service. I think everybody is ready with their elements, so I guess we're ready to get started, and I will, at the end of this service, I will leave the Zoom room open and unmute everybody in case there are folks who want to hang out in the lobby, so to speak, and greet one another. So we can do that afterward. So now let's try another trick. All right, do y'all have the call to worship? Is that showing? Will you then join me in this call to worship? We gather from the west to the east, from the south to the north. From the
south and to the north.
To celebrate the God of peace, who accompanies us in our acts of peace. This God of peace accompanies us in each and every circumstance around us. Let us praise God's name. Let us worship God. I am now. All right, Ward, are you there?
I'm ready.
Okay, Ward is going to lead us in singing the hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West.
In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In him shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. Uh-oh. His service is the golden cord, most binding humankind. Join hands, disciples of the faith, whatever your race may be. Who serves my father as his child is surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west, in him meet south and north. All Christly souls are one in him, throughout the whole wide earth.
And now will you join me in an opening prayer? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. I'm going to call on Aaron Roberts to share a message for our children. And before I throw to him, I just want to thank him for stepping up and volunteering to provide a message for our kids last week in our recorded service and this week. And he has indicated a willingness to continue, but we'd love to have others if there are other folks who want to record a message for kids. Or if you want to participate in our recorded worship in other ways, reading scripture and that kind of thing, we'd love to incorporate more people. And Ward has already mentioned that he is also looking for folks to record themselves singing the doxology. And he has a guide track that he can send you and he can help you record so that we can have a unison doxology in our recorded worship as well. So I'm thankful to Aaron and I'm going to throw to him now. Aaron, you got it?
I'm here, and I'm assuming everyone can hear me because it says I'm unmuted, so we're just going to go here. Good morning, everybody. I appreciate the opportunity to start lending a hand with service and to kind of incorporate more and take some of the load just off Betsy herself, posting a message every Sunday. I think it's good to see other faces and have all of us remember that there's more than just one person who runs the church. So it's good to know that we're all here together and sharing, which brings me to communion today, which means sharing with others. It's World Communion Sunday, but that's what we're celebrating today. So we actually share Jesus with everyone on the planet, and not just those in our house who we're with all the time now that restrictions are upon us, or just those on the Zoom call right now too. It's everyone in the world. Whoever is living right now, whoever has ever lived, and whoever will ever be born and can live after us, they are all loved by God. And that's who we share the love of Jesus with. This is a reminder that we're all worthy to have communion with Jesus. So that means that not one of us is better or worse than the other person. I myself give my reminders all the time to me. I myself give myself. Anyway, I give reminders to myself all the time. If I have to do something important, I'll write it down on a sheet of paper, put it in my pocket, or take that little piece of paper and put it with my wallet or my keys so that I'll see it when I get up and leave for the work the next morning. Or if it's something very important that I might even miss there, I'll go outside to my truck, put it in my driver's seat. So as soon as I open my door in the morning, I see that little reminder. And actually, to prove it, these are some of the reminders that I write myself daily. I have slips of paper everywhere, which is not exactly organized, but I can't give any excuse why I forget things. Hopefully these will jolt my brain and I'll get whatever I have to do done. I also email or text myself these reminders too. Last week, in fact, my daughter Elle asked for a little bit of help with school, and she did it right before I was going to bed. So I pulled my phone out and emailed myself, "Do this in the morning for Elle." And there it pops up. First thing in the morning, I see that email and I got it done. So I need reminders all the time. I hope this applies to everybody. I think it does. We need reminders that God loves everybody. And then another reminder that that really means everybody. Even people who you think, me, myself, the people that can't possibly be loved by anyone in the world. God loves that person. So if you're like me and need reminders, go ahead and write that down on a little piece of paper and keep it where you'll see it. God loves everybody, even me. And then think of everybody else in the world reading that piece of paper with that message on it. So, that being said, please join me in a prayer. Lovely God, we are so fortunate to always have you with us. Please put a little reminder in our heads that all of the people in this world, that includes everyone we ever see with our eyes, are loved by you. We're all worthy of communion, where we share Jesus' sacrifice with each other, and where Jesus shares his love with us again and again. We are brothers and sisters with each other, no matter how far away we are, or even if we've never even met. You love us all, so we should all be able to do the same. Amen.
Amen. And thank you to Aaron for that message. For a scripture reading this morning, I have some selected verses from Luke chapter 14 and also pulling from chapter 13. So listen for the word of the Lord. He, that is Jesus, also said to the one who had invited him to dinner, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection." And from chapter 13, "People will come," Jesus says, "from east and west and north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think that the table may be the thing I miss the most these days. I miss gathering around those round tables in the fellowship hall early on a Sunday morning where we're all a little bleary-eyed, but catching up on the week over coffee. I miss my parents' kitchen table and being able to gather there for meals. It's chaos and loud with kids and pass the plate and something inevitably gets spilled, but it's wonderful to be together at the table. I miss inviting people over to my own table, the dining room table, and being able to share a cookout on the deck or a birthday meal. I miss going to restaurants with my husband and sitting across a lovely table or a casual one and sharing a date night. And to be frank, some uninterrupted conversation would be nice. The thing about all of those tables, of course, is not the size or the shape of the table, whether it's a flimsy card table or a fine mahogany table, whether the chairs around them match, whether they're dressed in white linen or a picnic cloth or simply bare, or what meal is served. Coffee and donuts, a big family dinner, the finest chef quality meal, or just a simple supper. The thing, of course, about all the tables, the thing I miss is being together. The mysterious and wonderful joy that comes from gathering at a table and sharing a meal. And it is in that spirit then, of course, that I miss this meal, the communion meal that we share, the table of our Lord. I am thankful that we have this way to be together and to gather and share this meal in our own homes. In these months apart, I've become increasingly aware of the incredible connectional power of this meal and what it means to share this meal, how it brings us together. That is a fitting theme in the month of October, because in October every year, we celebrate World Communion Sunday, as Aaron has mentioned. Typically, it's celebrated on the first Sunday of October, and churches around the nation and around the world will celebrate what is known as World Communion Day. It's a day in the church calendar that I adore. And in fact, I love it so much that I scheduled my ordination on World Communion Sunday and had a whole World Communion theme kind of at my ordination service and reception. World Communion Sunday is an ecumenical celebration started about 90 years ago by Presbyterians and later adopted by wider church groups. And it is a Sunday that we set aside to particularly celebrate the way this meal brings us together. Christian unity and cooperation, the way we gather at the table, our unity in Christ that binds us to each other and gives us a taste of the kingdom. One of the great images of that kingdom is a table, a banqueting table where everyone will be able to feast in the kingdom of God. And we hear those words from the scripture. They will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. Every day at my house, one or more of my children will ask the question, big table or little table? And they are asking how dinner is going to be served that particular night. Big table means we're going to eat together at the dining room table, all five of us, and sit down for a family meal. Little table means we're going to feed them at their small kids' table in the kitchen. And then we grown-ups will eat a little bit later on after they go to bed. And to be honest, in our house, it's about a 50-50 shot between little table and big table. We like to try to get around that big table, but some days are better than others. But that question, big table or little table, it is a pertinent one, I think, for us in the church. Because this table, the Lord's table, is a big table. The church at times has been guilty of imagining the table to be quite small, that only certain people are welcome, only certain kinds of folks. And we have put fences around the table and said certain folks can't come or aren't worthy. But as Aaron reminded us in our children's sermon, and as we're reminded in scripture, it's a big table and God welcomes everybody. Every time we come to this meal, and especially on World Communion Sunday, we celebrate that Christ sets a big table. And it's always a bigger table than we can imagine. Right? The people that we don't think would be worthy are welcomed. The people that we'd rather not be seated next to are right there. All are welcome. Everyone eats together. And it's a particularly powerful and important reminder to us right now in at least two ways that I've thought of. One is in this COVID season when we're apart from each other, it's a gift for us to remember the way this table brings us together. A lot of us are struggling with loneliness and anxiety. We have, as someone said in one of the Zoom calls this week, we have COVID fatigue. We're tired and we're tired of being apart. And part of that is that our lives have gotten really small. We miss being at the table together. And we've talked about how just even the smallest outing, Ward was talking about he and Lynn are going to go out of town this week. And just to get away for a day or two and have a change of scenery has become a huge gift. Because we're all in our houses and looking at the same four walls and getting a little stir crazy. And the routine of day after day after day, we've lost track of the days. But at this table, we're reminded the bigness of the table is big enough to connect us, right? We've all poured our own little juice and our own little bread at home. And we're not able to be together in the same space, but the table is big enough to draw us together. Christ keeps inviting us to the table and inviting us to connect with each other. And so there's that gift of the big table and sitting down together even while we're apart. The other, I think, really important reminder in this World Communion spirit to remember how big Christ's table is that we are living in a time of deep division in our country and our nation and our politics, right? That election is 9 days out. Many of you, I hope, have already voted, and I know people are making their plans. It's a momentous election and a momentous moment in the life of our country. The stakes could not be higher, and nor could the tensions between us be higher, right? There's a constant, and I don't even want to call it a dialogue, but debate, conversation, screaming back and forth in some cases, between our competing values and priorities and our hopes and dreams for our country. And part of that is about questions of who belongs at the American table, who's welcome, and how we're going to navigate that, the seating chart, if you will. What happens is we sit on our sides of the aisle and we roll our eyes or we yell at or we ignore the other side. And we've by and large lost the ability to sit together, right? To pull up a chair at the same table, to dialogue with one another, to have those hard conversations, to live with one another in peace. And because we don't even know how to sit together, we also don't know how to live together in peace and harmony and making sure that everybody has enough. It seems to me that in our international life, our tables are quite small, which lends power to what we do at Christ's table. Because here, we who are Christians, we who call ourselves followers of Christ, we get ourselves realigned to this concept of a big table. This meal reminds us that God's answer to that question, big table or little table, is always big table and bigger table, the biggest table. God's in the business of bringing people together, of welcoming and gathering in different folks, making sure everybody gets fed. God is not concerned about who belongs or who deserves a seat at the table. God's only concern is who is hungry, who is thirsty. Let them come. So now more than ever, we need this table. We need to come to this table and remember Christ's invitation. And we need to be nourished for the work of creating a welcoming table in the world. We need to eat at this table and we need to embody the table for the broken and hurting and lonely and divided world out there. We need to pull up a chair here and eat of God's grace and then pass that grace along to the wider church, to the wider world, to our neighbors and strangers and enemies, those whom God loves, which is, in the end, everyone. So that's the message. That's the message of World Communion Sunday, and that is always the message of the Lord's Supper. There is room for everyone. It's a big table. To close, I want to quote from the wonderful Jan Richardson, a Christian writer, and she has written this. World Communion Sunday reminds us that Christ calls us to a table where the welcome is wide. He offers us a space with bread and wine in abundance to give solace to our sorrow and to stir our joy. Even as Christ invites us to this table, he does not mean for us to linger forever. He gives us sustenance here in order to send us forth, carrying a space of welcome, a big table within us, called to offer it to those we meet. One more, and one more, and one more. Thanks be to God for a big table. Amen. As we move to the table, I want to share an anthem with you, if I can. Let's see. Here it is. This is a song called This Is My Song. And this virtual choir was put together by the Presbyterian Peacemaking Project.
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are meeting, with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are
so
So here we are gathering at the table. Yes, we are doing it in this new way, but we come to this table for the same reasons we always have every time. We come because we're hungry. We come to eat the bread and drink the cup. We come to be fed by God and to meet Christ and to experience God's grace together. This is a big table. It's not mine or yours. It's not a Presbyterian table. It is nonpartisan. This is Christ's table. And here we are gathered with one another, with the wider church, with the whole human family, and with Christ himself, who is our gracious host at this meal and who gives himself to redeem the world. This is a big table, big enough to connect you and me, even while we are apart and not able to be in the sanctuary together, and big enough to link us up with those around the world who celebrate this meal in different places and different ways. This is a table that stretches not just across space and place, but also across time. From now, stretching all the way back across history and all the way forward through time to that final banquet, where all will be redeemed and where everyone will be gathered up from north and south and east and west in the kingdom of God. This is the table to which Christ invites us. And so let us participate joyfully. Oh no.
Ñaña turaikuna, señor Barcenar mancaya y kusunchis, kusiska causasunchis.
Esta é a mesa para a qual Jesus nos convida. Vamos participar com alegria.
Talanta mexa, Cristo te ayigot.
Com a resumessa?
Ha, ei, ñane, no es andate.
Ñana morumina.
Voy a ver en vive.
Esta é es la mesa a la que Jesús nos invita.
Indeed, this is the table to which Christ invites us, and so let us participate joyfully. Let us pray together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creating God, source of our being, we give you thanks and praise. For you have brought forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. In the beginning, you created people in your likeness. In your likeness, you created all people who multiplied and became many, people of many genders, races, nationalities, and abilities. You created the world and all that is in it without borders or walls, and you called it all good. For this, we thank and praise you. We thank you also for Jesus Christ, our sibling, born of Mary in a stable of Palestine. In him, you confronted the powers and principalities of your time, and you welcomed as your friends those whom society had cast aside. For love and liberation of your people, you risked your life and were executed by the brokenness of empire. Yet even death could not put an end to the love that you embody. Out of death, you arose to new life to live again among your people. With joy, we celebrate what you have done, and with dedication, we follow you in faith, transformed by your love. Boundless God, we ask that you would pour out your spirit upon this bread and this cup. Through your holy presence and these ordinary gifts, we ask you to nourish and transform us, that we might remember that we belong to each other and to you, that God loves everyone, truly everyone. Through our remembering at this big table, may we tear down all boundaries and walls that we have built And may all people in all places and times be united in you as we share in this meal and as we join our voices in the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I will tell it to you the way it was told to me, the way it has been told in many times and many places, that Jesus Christ, on the night of his arrest, gathered around table with his friends. He invited his betrayer. He invited his friends. He invited the one who would hand him over and the one who would deny him. They were all gathered there at Jesus's invitation, and in that meal, he took bread. And giving thanks to God, he broke it for them. Saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And again, giving thanks, he poured it for them. Saying, This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood, which I will shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So take and drink, all of you. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim with the whole family of God that Christ has come and Christ will come again. Friends, I invite you to take your elements that you have on your, that you have prepared, and hold them as we remember that these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us take, let us be nourished. Let us pray once again. God, you are great and you are good. So we thank you for this food. By your hands, we all are fed. Thank you for our daily bread. Amen. And now, once again, Ward is going to lead us in singing. And singing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Ward, are you ready?
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds
is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
Friends, what a joy it has been to be together at the table, to worship together, to pray, to hear the word of God, and to be nourished. I send you, as I always do, with a blessing. Go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Carry within you this big table. Carry forward Christ's welcome and Christ's grace to all of those that you have the pleasure to meet. And go knowing, trusting, believing that you do not go alone. For God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, with us now and will abide with us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.